Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. The ACC Big Ten Challenge is out. And Penn State didn't exactly get what I call a marquee matchup. They got a game at home, but it's Virginia Tech. It's not going to sell a lot of tickets. My hope had been it was going to... I had hoped it would be Notre Dame. Like Notre Dame, they had the exact same records and the exact same conference records, so I thought that would be the matchup. It said Michigan State's at Notre Dame. Michigan State? Dame? Really? That's the matchup? Nebraska's at Florida State. Rutgers at Clemson. That'll be on Monday, December 1st. Tuesday, December 2nd. Syracuse is at Michigan. Ohio State at Louisville. Pitt's at Indiana. NC State's at Purdue, Illinois is at Miami, Minnesota's at Wake Forest. On Wednesday, December 3rd, it's Duke at Wisconsin, Michigan State at Notre Dame, Iowa is at North Carolina State. Is that North Carolina or North Carolina? No, it's at North Carolina. Virginia's at Maryland, Georgia Tech is at Northwestern, and Virginia Tech is at Penn State. That is how the challenge plays out. NC State is the school that is out. Challenge.
But Virginia Tech, they went through a span where they lost, what, 10 straight and then lost another, what, 9 to end the year?
Talked to JJ. Well, I had a long talk with JJ about that. I mean, he's no longer the head coach. JJ was here, James Johnson. James Johnson was here... Goodness, I want to say 3 weeks ago, and he and I had a long talk about that. You know, he'd been the head coach for 2 years, and what happened was that, you know, he took over for Seth Greenberg. There were some issues on that end that was certainly challenging for him. Lost some guys to injuries. Now Buzz Williams has taken over as the head coach. You know.
Who'd you say was out of it?
NC State. There has to be one ACC team that's out.
Uh-huh.
They have 15. They have 15 schools. Louisville gives them 15 schools. So Louisville's going to play Ohio State at home at the KFC Yum Center. NC State won't play.
I just wonder why it's NC State.
Probably luck of the draw, that's all. I mean, I think that's all it is. I mean, you have to have one school that's out. I mean, there was a point, you know, it's always been like this in terms of how the challenge has gone as to whether you're in or out, because there's never been a matchup where the ACC and the Big Ten, I think, had the same number of teams.
I can understand
two years at 12 each. I mean, whatever. It's probably just luck of the draw.
But that makes sense to me. But wouldn't you want? I mean, if you're either organization putting this on, don't you want your best teams in there? And I don't know that Virginia Tech is your best team.
No, they aren't. But I'm just saying, and it just turned out NC State's the one that's out. All 14 Big Ten teams participate. There has to be one ACC team that doesn't. For NC State's the team that's not going to. So, it's Virginia Tech. I was hoping for a little bit better in terms of the ability to sell tickets. It's nothing to do with the quality of the competition or so forth, you know, because Buzz Williams will do a good job at Virginia Tech. I have no problem with that. But to sell tickets here, you need... Let me put it to you this way. If Notre Dame and Virginia Tech had exactly the same talent, Notre Dame would sell tickets. Virginia Tech will not.
Sure, because it's Notre Dame.
Right. Simple as that. All right. Well, that's who it is. The Penguins are next going to face the New York Rangers Stanley Cup playoffs after the Rangers beat the Flyers last night to close out the series in seven. Josh Yoey joins us. Josh, it's great to have you with us.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Well, matchup-wise, did the Penguins end up on the plus side in terms of the pure matchup between the Rangers and the Flyers?
Yeah, I think they did. They would never come out and admit that, of course. And I actually think there was maybe, from an ego standpoint, there was a part of the Penguins that really wanted another crack at the Flyers after what happened 2 years ago. But the fact is, they always play well against the Rangers, and there's a couple of reasons for it. When you look down the middle at the center position, the Penguins always have a big edge. The Rangers have, you know, Derek Stepan and Brad Richards. They're nice players, but they certainly don't match up with Crosby and Malkin. They never have, really, over the past 5 or 6 years. And also, they have made Henrik Lundqvist look pretty ordinary at times. And on the other side, Marc-Andre Fleury, for whatever reason, is loves playing against the Rangers. He always plays well against Lundqvist. So I think it'll be a good series, and I think the Rangers are a pretty formidable team. But, yeah, the Penguins usually do play well against them, and I was the preferred matchup.
What were the pluses in your view and the minuses in your view of the Columbus series?
Well, the biggest plus to me, well, two things. Number one was Fleury. You know, he was very good, and it was the first playoff series that he had won in 4 years, which is hard to believe. But he found himself in some high-pressure situations, some of his own doing, some not, and he responded. And for the most part, he was very good in that series, and I think that will only help him moving forward. And the other thing was just the scoring depth that the Penguins showed. That was their problem all season, that Crosby and Malkin aren't scoring. Nobody's scoring well. They've gotten goals from all kinds of different contributors here in this the first couple of weeks of these playoffs. So that's a great sign for the Penguins. And the negatives, well, Sidney Crosby doesn't have a goal yet. He hasn't looked himself. That's obviously a concern. And just special teams in general. The Penguins were first on the power play and fifth on the penalty kill during the regular season, and both of those units struggled to some extent in the first round. Wasn't enough of a problem to stop them from beating Columbus, but as they start playing better and better teams, they need to be a lot better in both of those areas.
Is this a case where Crosby has to get away from a certain individual in Dubinsky and move on?
Probably. You know, a lot of people have been asking me if he's hurt, and I don't think he's hurt. You know, he hasn't missed a day of practice. If he were hurt, I would certainly think he'd be giving himself a couple of days off. And he was at practice again today. I think Dubinsky gave him fits. And I just think he's having some confidence issues right now, believe it or not. It's a funny thing to say about the best player in the world. But, you know, I think it's just in his head a little bit right now that he hasn't scored a goal. And you get the feeling if he just gets one that the floodgates might open a little bit. He's a little frustrated right now just being around him the last few days. You can tell it's on his mind a little bit, but I don't think he's injured, so that's the good news.
Everybody hits a slump, though. I mean, everybody, all right? I mean, you know,
he still had 6 points in six games, which isn't exactly bad. It's not like he was doing nothing, but the expectations for him are just much different than anyone else.
Right, well, exactly. I mean, Peyton Manning just had a Super Bowl to forget.
Right.
Clemente had slumps. I mean, you can go on and on. I mean, even LeBron James, well, what do you mean he only scored 10 points? Like, come on. Sometimes it happens.
Well, like I always tell people, too, the other team is paid to play also. So,
yes.
You know, it's exactly. Not always supposed to be easy, especially in the playoffs.
What about the third period? The third period became an interesting period all the way through. When you watch this play out, Josh, what was it about the third period? Was it legs issues? What?
Well, I asked a lot of the players what happened in Game 6 there, and you know, I already had my article all written. I was quite happy with it. It was 4-0 in the third period, and then all hell breaks loose there. The Penguins just kind of froze. And a bunch of players told me it was nothing tactical. It wasn't anything the coaches did wrong. We just kind of were shell-shocked for a few minutes there. And that's kind of disturbing for a fairly veteran team like the Penguins. That shouldn't be happening. And if they have one weakness right now as a team, and it's been this way for years, they're not very good at protecting leads late in games. They really aren't, and especially in this era of NHL hockey, you better be able to protect that 3-2 lead in the third period. Goals are hard to come by. If you're giving up goals in those situations, that's not a good thing. And the Penguins just aren't real good at shutting the door. They're one of those teams when they're up 3-1, they want to make it 5-1. They just can't help themselves. And I think it would serve them well to slow games down a little bit and try to play a more patient style at times, because that game absolutely should have been over. And the fact of the matter is, Marc-Andre Fleury made two great saves in that stretch, or it could have been even worse.
Was there any series in the opening round that ended up surprising you?
Gosh, I don't want to sound like a know-it-all, but not really. I think most of the good teams advanced. I really thought San Jose was going to make a run this year, and they were the most impressive team that I saw in person all year. And then to see them start out 3-0, you think, boy, maybe this is their year, and for them to crash and burn once again. I guess it's not shocking because of their playoff history, but it was kind of shocking the way it happened. So maybe that one surprised me a little bit. Minnesota, maybe a little bit of an upset, but when you look at the final eight teams in the playoffs, there's not many bad teams there. There's some awfully good matchups.
In fact, what Joe Thornton's now been with the Sharks, 9 years now? I mean,
that sounds right.
You have to wonder at this stage, Josh, whether there has to be a consideration of breaking that team up.
I think there has to be. I mean, it's not a coincidence. This happens every year with that team. And, I would say for all of those 9 years, San Jose has been one of the five best teams in the regular season darn near every year.
Right.
And to not even get to a Stanley Cup final and to only get the one conference final, I believe that's inexcusable. And I think if you're in charge of that team, you have to do something. I mean, Penguins fans, because of how the last 3 or 4 years have gone in the playoffs. Well, San Jose's never won anything, and they've had a good team for 15 years now. It's really a head-scratcher, but you could kind of feel it coming when it was after L.A. went there and won Game 5, just because of all the problems the Sharks have had in the past.
Yeah, exactly. Henrik Lundqvist, have the Penguins had, in your opinion, success in solving him? Your view on that?
They've never really had a problem with him. They have great respect for him, as everyone does. He's one of the five best goaltenders in the league. I don't think anyone would question that. To be as simplistic as possible about this, they beat him up high a lot, and that's kind of his weakness. Well, a huge man, and he's got these big long legs, and he just takes away the bottom of the net. It's almost impossible to beat him down there. And the only teams that have success against him tend to be the more talented teams with sharpshooters, and guys like that like to go high. Great goal scorers, they always go top shelf, and it just seems like that's what he has trouble with. He plays the butterfly, and that's often what's available, and I think the Penguins are very well aware of that. Doesn't mean it's easy to beat him. Of course it isn't. But if you look at Lundqvist's career, the Penguins have probably given him as many fits as anyone, and maybe that's not surprising. They've given a lot of goaltenders problems over the years with the way they can score. But I don't think they enter this series intimidated by Henrik Lundqvist, maybe the way some teams do. They've had some success against him. They know they've beaten him in the playoffs before. So there is a very healthy respect there, but I think they have a pretty good idea of how to beat him.
And then the next part is, you mentioned about Crosby. The way Malkin broke out in the sixth game, your thoughts on where he is right now?
Oh, he's in a good place. I mean, you can kind of feel it coming with him. I think Matt Niskin in the Penguins defenseman put it best. He said, when Gino gets really determined like that, we just kind of get out of his way.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened the other night. And Crosby's the best player in the world and the best player of his generation, but I've always believed that Malkin was more physically gifted than Crosby. He's a much bigger man. And he just had it all working the other night against the Blue Jackets, and he's obviously healthy, and he even talked with the media today, which is very rare, so he's in good spirits, and boy, he always plays well against the Rangers, because the Rangers have a great defensive pairing in Girardi and McDonough, and they try to get those two on the ice against Crosby as often as possible, and that's fine. They might slow him down to some extent, but they don't really have anyone who can keep up with Malt, and he obviously suddenly in very good form.
The NBA obviously has been in the spotlight, Josh, as we know. And the one thing they kept falling on is, well, this is the best NBA playoffs ever. And what made me laugh was actually hearing Magic Johnson say, he says, everyone talks about the NHL playoffs. you know, you and I, of course, call them the Stanley Cup playoffs. Everybody talks about the NHL playoffs, but the NBA playoffs have been just as exciting. Does that at least tell you that they are at least getting referenced in this argument?
Yeah, that's highly unusual, right?
I know.
And, you know, as a, I'm a hockey guy. There's this weird thing between hockey fans and basketball fans. Some people think if you're a hockey fan, you're not supposed to say anything nice about basketball. And I happen to like both sports a lot.
Yeah.
I think both first rounds have been spectacular, in fact. But, no, that's good that they're getting on the radar a little bit. And, see, Magic's probably feeling it because L.A. is going to play Anaheim in his backyard, so maybe he doesn't like the attention they're getting. I don't know. But, no, the NHL, or I should say the Stanley Cup playoffs, as we call them, I think they've been great so far. There's a lot more goals than in years past, more offense, excitement, and I'll tell you what, you only had to watch a few minutes of that Minnesota-Colorado game last night if you wanted to see entertainment. My goodness.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because I watched that thing. And you know, usually a game seven is like the Flyers-Rangers, a 2-1, 3-2 game, whatever. It's 5-4 in overtime.
The third they were trading 2-1 until somebody
period?
Finally scored.
How good was the
was
third
like
period?
It was like watching the game out of the 80s.
I know. And I just said, how good was the third period?
This first round of TV ratings are really up, too. I know NBC and NBC Sports Network are awfully happy with the ratings they're getting. They're the highest first-round ratings they've ever had. And, you know, I don't know that the NHL will ever be as popular as, you know, the NBA or baseball. Obviously, the NFL's in a stratosphere of its own. But I think they're making improvements, upgrades. I think they're getting there slowly but surely. And this spring is definitely not hurting.
Well, NBC Sports said it's the highest ratings they've had. You know, so they'll balance that out because they have IndyCar coming up. So, okay, no, just kidding.
Fair point.
Josh, as always, an absolute pleasure. Thanks for taking some time on an off day to talk to us.
My pleasure, Steve. Anytime.
Josh Yoey, Pittsburgh Tribune Review.
You had to get the dig in, didn't you?
How many of these shows are there across the country right now? Just take an estimate.
How many? What? How many of these shows? I don't know.
These shows, talk shows.
200.
Sports talk shows. Of the 200, how many yesterday mentioned that they were going backwards in Indianapolis on the straightaway?
15.
One.
14 of them were in Indianapolis.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
You buy cards, I invest in silver.
Are you still on this? You are absolutely enamored by the fact that that I would sell an autograph for money.
I don't get the value in it.
Well, when someone says, hey, that's a really nice looking card you have there. Is it signed? Yeah, here's the certificate of authenticity. I'll give you $50 for it. Done! That's what the difference is.
Really?
Although it's getting harder and harder, though, to sell memorabilia without a certificate. And even those certificate of authenticities are you have to be real careful with now.
Wow. It's It's a whole thing I didn't even know was out there.
What, certificates of authenticity?
No. People selling stuff.
Oh. I mean, there's a fine line of people that a fine group of people, I should say, that would keep it for themselves. I there's a couple of things I have, but I'm still fascinated by being able to buy stock in Bills quarterback E.J. Manuel for $10 a share. And this company expects to sell over 500,000 shares. I guess they get a percent. They get 10% of whatever he earns throughout his career with endorsements and everything. And I'm assuming that that's what they're going to pay dividends from EJ. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he gets a $5 million upfront, all right? And 10% of whatever he earns throughout his career in endorsements, this company called Fantex gets. And that's estimated to be around $104 million. I think that's the way I understand it. I could be wrong. But how else are they going to pay a dividend if they don't get a percentage of his endorsements and contract?
What's next, a bridge for sale?
$10, and you too can own your favorite NFL player.
That's insane.
Now, if you buy, 200 shares... Does he make personal appearances at your events, like your birthdays?
Silver's $19.10 an ounce. I think it could go into the mid-30s.
Yeah, but they're not going to make an appearance at your birthday party.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is attempting to buy stock in E.J. Manuel, who was injured in the game against the Cleveland Browns on Thursday Night Football.
It's either that or Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis right now trading at $11 a share. I mean, San Francisco is a little bit more high profile, so there might be some more endorsement money to be made there.
So my question is, if you had to pick one player to buy stock in and one draft pick to buy stock in, who would it be?
Peyton Manning, Blake Bortles. No question about it. No doubt in my mind on either one.
All right. Peyton Manning, Blake Bortles. 800-795-9565. Who would you buy stock in? Hoping for a big return.
Now, keep in mind, this whole deal also includes, future contracts, endorsements, and if they get into broadcasting. And I can see Peyton Manning being in CBS and being at CBS on their little roundtable pregame show and halftime show.
I hope not. I hope he actually gets the games instead of doing something that's junk.
But I could see him do either one. But I could see him in a studio quicker than I think in the broadcast booth. I mean, think about it. Right now, CBS has a thing for NFL quarterbacks on their broadcast. Or at least they used to, anyway, up until this past year.
Wow. Donald Trump has landed the 2022 PGA Golf Championship. He just bought Turnberry, which had the legendary Watson-Nicklaus British Open 1977 matchup. But, Bedminster in New Jersey has landed the PGA Championship in 2022. Trump's been buying golf courses. He owns Doral, All right, so what player would you buy stock in? Now, Dave, I thought Dave had so far has had the best answer. Andrew Luck.
Yeah, there's some money there. I can see that. I don't know some? How much. Yeah, but see,
some
is there going to be long term? Is this a long term thing? Is there money after football? That's what you have to. That's the other question here. That's the other issue. Is there money after football?
I think Andrew Luck right now is one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
I just don't see him doing a lot of endorsement deals. You know, he's kind of scruffy looking. He doesn't seem to have that real outgoing type of personality for endorsements. See, you can't look at this by just how long is he going to play in the NFL and how well. You have to look big picture at this.
Well, Dave said Andrew Luck, and I think he's absolutely right.
No, I don't think it's a bad pick. I think, like I said, I just don't see the endorsements there. The endorsement money's not there. And let's face it, there's some big money there. I mean, imagine if you had this deal when Michael Jordan came out.
So, to you, the fans, you had a chance to buy stock in any player. We gave you some unlimited funds to work with. Which current player would you invest your stock money in? And which draft choice would you invest your money in? 800-795-9565. Kevin says Peyton Manning, Blake Bortles. Hands down. I believe one of our callers said Andrew Luck, Jadeveon Clowney. So who would you invest in? We give you an opportunity here. We give you some cash, chance to buy some stock in a player. Who would you buy stock in?
Right now, the only two players who are legitimately on the market, and by the way, in case you missed it last hour, this is legitimate. This is really being done. E.J. Manuel, they're going to offer stock for shortly. And Vernon Davis of the 49ers, they already have stock traded yesterday at $11 a share from the initial $10 offering.
Well, this is where I'm going to take it one step further. So I'm opening it up to everybody. Every player in the NFL is on the stock market.
Sure.
Every draft choice is on the stock market. If you were an investor, okay, what player would you invest your money in? Would you buy stock in of a current player and stock of a draft choice? Who would it be? And, you know, and some are going to be more expensive than others. I mean, obviously the stock of an Andrew Luck is going to be much higher than the stock of a John Skelton, a quarterback. The stock of on this particular day of a Jadeveon Clowney is going to be higher than the stock of a Daquan Jones. Oh, that's right. He said he'd buy stock in Andrew Luck and Allen Robinson.
Robinson, right.
He said Allen Robinson. He didn't say, not say Clowney.
Now, see, I don't know if there's long-term money in Clowney. Now, if you look at ranking by athletes, Peyton Manning, this is the one that I was talking to you about. Peyton Manning made $38 million last year, including $15 million in endorsements. Mm-hmm. He was fourth among athletes, not NFL, just athletes.
Yeah. No, that's, do you really think he drives a Verano? All right.
I don't know. You know what is funny, though? You know who he trails? Athletes now, not just football players. Can you take a guess who he trails? He's fourth, Peyton Manning.
Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson.
Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are 1-2 at over $60 million apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bet you get number three.
I think at one point it used to be Roger Federer, but it's
not anymore.
It's probably not now. Who is number three?
LeBron.
No, LeBron James. LBJ.
The NFL players in this list, of this top 50 list, I believe it was top 50, 19 are NBA players, 17 are Major League Baseball players, 8 football stars on the list.
Okay.
That's a surprise to me. I thought sure that the football players would be making, I don't know, with the popularity of football, I figured that would be easily bigger money than two golfers. But you know what? It's the endorsements that just drive everything through the roof. I mean,
so
Tiger,
who would
makes,
you buy?
What, Tiger makes about $60 million in endorsements alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He doesn't even play anymore.
That's right. No, that's
kidding.
Right.
I'm just kidding. But who would you invest in? Kevin's a collector. I mean, if you could get a Tiger Woods card signed, you'd do that, wouldn't you?
Oh, I would get a Tiger Woods card signed, sure. No question. Actually, it's Tiger Woods golf ball.
Hmm. Yeah, Brad Faxon tried that once. Oh, well. You ever hear that story?
Yes. I didn't think I remembered it afterwards.
I told that story. Billy Andrade and Brad Faxon held a charity golf tournament called the CVS Classic. Faxon and Andrade are both from Rhode Island. So they wanted to do this fundraiser. And it was like 1-2-day tournaments. It was a charity golf outing, the whole thing. And I think they were doing it for, I think, children's hospitals or something like that. So they came up with an idea to have every Masters champion sign a golf ball, you know. So at the time, they went through and they got Mickelson, they got Nicklaus, they got Player, they got Palmer. I mean, they got Nick Faldo, they got Tom Watson, Ray Floyd. At the time, Byron Nelson was still alive. They got him. And they were able to get, who's the one guy that wouldn't do it?
Really?
Yep. They got yeses and signed golf balls from everybody for a silent auction. And he's the one guy that wouldn't do it. Okay. I don't get it. Well, that's fine. Life goes on without you. Oh, well.
Let's see. I remember I said Peyton Manning would be the one I would pick. His numbers for the last year, $38 million. Just a little over $38
million. Okay.
$23 million in salary, $15 million in endorsements.
Okay. Now, of your collectibles, okay, I asked you earlier.
Right.
There's a couple things you would never get rid of. What were they again?
Well, the one thing that I could think of immediately that I would not get rid of is a Wheaties box that was a regionally distributed one for Super Bowl 30 with the Steelers AFC Championship, commemorating the Steelers AFC Championship. The box was black, obviously, in Steelers colors, had the Steeler players on it. Still has the cereal in the box, by the way. It's worth more if it's sealed and in the box. They also have them where you flatten them out, and there's no cereal in the box. But I found they're worth more if the cereal's still in the box and sealed.
What does your wife say about this stuff?
Well, we have a curio cabinet, and actually we have two. One's for her stuff, and one is for all my collectibles.
What's in her cabinet?
Unicorns.
Okay, sounds fun.
Unicorns, yeah.
What's in yours?
Cards, soda bottles. I have wine bottles. I have the Mario Andretti's last year. They did a commemorative wine called Arrivederci Mario. I have that. I have a Mario autographed hat. Lots of cards. Couple of programs from the Super Bowl and from Penn State bowl games. None of which I attended, by the way. And the one that you love the most, and you've heard me talk about this, two unused tickets to the Salt Lake City Olympics biathlon. That's the one where she went, "You bought what? Why?" I said, "I don't know. I don't have anything in my collection from the Olympics." So I have a bunch of Salt Lake City calendars that they did in 2002 commemorating the Olympics, and I have an Olympics program from 02 and then the biathlon.
See, I don't even wear my championship rings.
Yeah, I don't get that. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. There's the other question. If you had a Big Ten championship ring, would you wear it? Yeah, I would wear it every stinking day. I would go to sleep with the thing. I would not take it off my finger. I don't care if they had to cut it off because my fingers swelled up. I would make sure that never came off my hand.
Okay.
You also have a chair from...
All of mine are in a drawer.
You have a chair, though. Is it from the Big Ten tournament or is it from the NCAA tournament?
Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, that's comfy.
Yeah, well... Just throw it down here.
I would never ever let me sit on it, but you did.
No, I don't care. It's a chair.
Seriously, it's a chair.
Like, I have a 297 ring. It was the last year they gave away 297 rings for bowling, and that's the closest I've ever been to a perfect game. I don't wear that one on a regular basis, but I would definitely wear a Big Ten championship ring. I wouldn't even think twice about that. I honestly think there's something wrong with you. You don't wear it.
Sorry.
I'm just telling you. I think there's something wrong. It fits, right? I mean, it's not that it doesn't fit.
Oh, no, they all fit.
Okay.
All of them fit. I mean, all of them have fit between that and there's... Those in an NIT championship ring, too. They all fit. But I don't, you know.
You're cut from a different mold than I am.
It's just not me. I don't know. It's not.
See, you look at it as correct me if I'm wrong. I had nothing to do with getting it. I just called the games. It's nice to have, but the guys actually earned the ring. I just have one. Is that a fair assessment of your view on it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And I understand that. I understand where you're coming from there.
I mean, they're all great mementos, but all I did was talk.
Well, see, now I would spin that differently. Okay, I would spin that as by me wearing this all the time, I'm honoring those guys that have worked their tails off to win that championship, and I was just lucky enough to be along for the ride.
Well, everybody tells me the same thing. They can't believe I don't ever wear them.
Yeah, there's something seriously wrong with that.
I didn't gain a yard, man. All right. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment with King Collector in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Now I collect rocks. I collect rocks. I put them in a bag. I put them in a box.
The fact that I'm not very pretentious, is that what the... What?
What? To me, they're
all just people.
I don't know, but this stock in a player, I mean, you're really not buying stock in a player. You're buying stock in the company.
I understand. And that reeks to me of the word scam. Okay,
it does, but it is so intriguing.
Intriguing? What's intriguing about the scam?
But I mean, I mean,
okay, all right. Now it's up to me to save everybody.
I mean, you get 10% of their earnings currently. The company is going to get 10% of EJ Manuel's earnings and future earnings and endorsements. That's an intriguing idea.
I don't see this.
Now, what if you sold stock in yourself, Steve, and paid a dividend?
What?
Let's see. Well, what if you didn't have the company and you just paid a dividend based on your income over the next several years? Would people buy stock in you? Let's see.
No.
I might spend $5 on the Steve Jones stock.
I'm confused. No.
It's
ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
But this is an intriguing marketing thing that they're trying.
You buy stock in things such as Oppenheimer or silver or things like that. That's what you buy stock in companies, not in an individual.
That's right. Everything I buy stock in folds, so it doesn't really matter. I'm the kiss of death when it comes to stock purchases.
Is that why we're not buying stock in this show?
I'm the kiss of death of stock purchases. Same thing with horse racing. Not very successful there either.
California Chrome's the favorite. Talked to Dick yesterday. Dick told me, he says he's going after the superfecta. He is confident he's going to win. The second he wins, I'm in the rearview mirror. No offense, I think Dick is back for his 11th season with me.
Yeah, but he's usually a stock tip that I might throw a couple of bucks on.
Oh, mercy.
Dick Girardi, gone.
So's this show. Look, I'm sorry. I know you want me to wear all this stuff, but it's not me.